Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Welcome to the Featured Anime Podcast. I'm your host, Jack.
And I'm Rick.
And today we are talking about Oshinoko, which was a recommendation from Jeb. But before that, we were actually talking about Dune, the old movies and the new movies, and, you know, giving our thoughts and viewpoints and talking a little bit about that. If you want to catch a part of that water conversation, you can join us live on twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast, or you can join us every Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Or if you want, you can subscribe to our Patreon and get to hear the show anytime during the week for that wonderful pre-show content. You can go to patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast, $1 a month, to get you access to the bonus content and more. And if you also want to help support us through other means and get yourself some nice, tasty treats, you can use our affiliate link in the show notes and use coupon code FEATUREDANIME and get $5 off that first box of Tokyo Treat. And trust me, those treats are worth it. They are so delicious. And if you want to support us through other ways, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com, buy yourself some swanky swag. And of course, all our information and everything like that's available on our website at featuredanimepodcast.com. And now, on to the meat and brotatoes. Oshinoko came out in April 2023, ran all the way through June 2023. It's 11 episodes long. Producer for it is Cyber Agent Kodokawa. Studio for it is Dogokobo. It's based off of a manga. And it's isekai, drama, supernatural, seinen, and... just to kind of give everyone a heads up, if you do plan on watching this, episode one is an hour and a half. Every episode after that is 20 minutes. And there is one recap episode that is in there. So you can basically cut that out, divide up the first episode into multiple, and you have like a 15 episode anime. There you go. Instead of the 11 that it claims. That hour and a half, man, that's a long. If you're not expecting it, that's diving head deep into it when you're expecting a 20, 30 minute show.
And to be fair, the first episode is massive as far as everything goes. It's a fantastic precursor to the anime. It's everything you could hope to have. You just boom right there. Everything you plan, like I feel like everything you plan on feeling in the show, everything you plan on listening to in the show, everything you plan on, it foreshadows everything in the probably the best way possible.
Right. So basically what this anime is about is it's kind of centered on the entertainment world. It focuses on people becoming celebrities who are children celebrities and idols and actors and everything like that and in between, and how they have to kind of portray and exaggerate themselves to the public and portray a particular image. And episode one focuses on I, who is Aqua's and Ruby's mother, and this is also an isekai at the exact same time, in that Ruby and Aqua are reincarnated from that exact same world with their same memories and intellect, being reincarnated as I's children. And yeah, it's them, aside from episode one, it is solely focalized on Aqua and Ruby and what they're doing and their particular goals and what they're trying to achieve. Aqua trying to find out who the parent is, who the dad is, as well as find out other things about his mother's past. And then Ruby trying to fulfill her mother's idea for her, which is her being an idol, and her life goal is being an idol. And you'll find more about the details about her and Aqua as we talk about this, but in general it is basically their entire lives are the exact opposite of what they used to be. Aqua was a doctor, an adult, very very straight and narrow, very kind and happy and everything like that. Basically very lighthearted. Ruby, on the other hand, was dealt a crummy hand, and she ended up dying very young. But now, having this opportunity to be reborn and go through life again, she is basically gripping everything with, you know, grabbing the bull by the horns and just going for it. Doesn't matter that she may fail. She's just going to enjoy doing it and have fun because she never had the opportunity before. Whereas of Aqua, he is, before, he was never bent on a vendetta or focalizing on particular individuals for a means to an end type of mentality. But that is very much how he is now, and now after having been reincarnated.
Well, he kind of has to be. And I don't mean that in the sense of he's a very vengeful person. I mean that in the sense of he was a doctor and he wasn't attached, if you would. And then he meets this idol who completely enthralls him. And the only reason he meets her is because of the child who introduced him, you know? Well, introduced him to the idea of I. And when she shows up, he recognizes her, but he's like, you know what? I'm going to be professional. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And when, unfortunately, he does die, he doesn't really see her as an idol so much as his ideal, which I guess is a play on words for idol. Because it just, even though they don't forget their memories, I feel like they're just as studious as they were before. You know what I mean? Like, he became a doctor, so he was very meticulous in his planning, and now that he's handsome and there are many opportunities that are showing up in his place, in front of him, because of who he supposedly is a child of, it's easier for him to fake it, if you will.
Well, no one knows who his parents are, right? He knows, his adoptive mother knows, we know, right? And no one else knows. No one else even suspects. Right. It's not discussed or talked about amongst anyone else.
Yeah, but it's assumed that he's the manager's kid, not I's kid.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I mean.
Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, it's like, it's not that he's meticulous in planning and everything like that. You know, it's he is like that as a result of circumstance, right? Having witnessed what went through, he's never had, it's not. And again, it's not that he's like, oh, I've never had a reason to go on a vengeful vendetta to try and find who my dad was before. It's like he's never had his whole life ripped from him in a very, very gruesome, very horrible way.
Yeah.
I mean, that would change anyone, because before he was kind, always kind, didn't view people as a means to an end. He now views specific people or interactions with people as a means to an end.
Yeah. And that's his whole persona. He's got a goal to reach.
Yeah.
And before, when he was a doctor, he maintained a distant detachment as best he could with everyone there.
Well, you're supposed to, when you're a doctor, you're not supposed to develop those attachments. You can't, like, well, he maintained a healthy detachment from his patients. Obviously, you're supposed to do that.
Up until I.
Because, well, let me put it to you like this. He died.
Yeah.
And was reborn as her kid. Of course he's going to have different feelings for her, because she literally gave birth to him and was raised by him for 3 years. Granted, he had his memories and everything like that, but that is, you can't go, oh, he maintained a healthy detachment from I. It's not this. You can't draw that correlation. You can't draw that. No, I'm saying you can't draw that correlation for his past life to that.
Well, what I was saying was he maintained a healthy detachment until I showed up. And then he took a personal interest in her, and not in a, yes, a professional standpoint, but also in a standpoint of, I want to protect her.
He's also was also a very big fan of hers. Like, of course he's going to want to be there. Like, you had this entire setup. It's not like she just walked in and he's like, oh, I'm going to protect you because you're obviously someone very important. No, they had an entire buildup for that too. Yes, like, yeah. Like, but even
the cancer patient he had before showed him I.
Yeah.
And, well, I assume it's cancer.
Okay.
And then what ends up happening is his infatuation with I, it's not even an infatuation, his fandom of I comes from her. And right. I don't know if it was something that they did together in order to bond and make her feel better. I don't know, but it became...
Probably because, you know, you do inevitably develop some kind of attachments, but the exact same time, I mean, like, majority of doctors and any doctor, any nurse will tell you, like, the best thing you can do is to not be emotionally vested in your patients. They will either leave and move on, or they will die. I mean, like, one of the two is going to happen. Mm-hmm. And
either way, they're leaving.
Either way, they're gone, and they're there for a very short amount of time. So, mm-hmm. I mean, like, granted, depending if they're there for a very long time, like how Ruby's former life was, she was there for a very long time. You develop mm-hmm. those relationships and everything like that. That is always going to happen. However, being emotionally detached is not unique for doctors. It's something they always try to do.
Well, and I guess I was trying to point out the fact that he was not detached with her. Like something shifted before he was killed and reincarnated.
Yeah, yes, he has this pseudo attachment or whatever it is. Yes, he chased after someone. Okay, but it's not that, he's like fully 100% invested in there. Someone came to him and they're like talking to him and trying to do whatever. He's like, whoa, bro, what the hell's going on? Are you the dad? Because it's kind of messed up. I mean, like, a doctor's will do that. There's a lot of mm-hmm. doctors that'll do that. They have, you know, they have some kind of ethics, but it's not like he's, you know, going over the deep end, trying to do everything he can above and beyond and everything like that. I mean, like, he's doing what he's supposed to do. He's an on-call doctor. I mean, and they even say this, it's like, he goes, if I'm not available, there's going to be another doctor here to deliver you. And she may have her wants to have him deliver. Right. But his response was the exact same response that my wife, you know, was given and that everyone else is given. It's like, hey, it'll be whoever's on call that's ultimately going to deliver it. Like, if it comes and I'm not available, it's going to be whoever's here.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So that, I mean, like, I saw him acting normal in my mind from my experiences, personal experiences, with the exception of being murdered and everything like that, you know, aside from being reincarnated and everything, like not being a doctor, from my viewpoint, from how I saw him, he acted like a normal doctor. They have a semblance of investment because you get to know them. They have to know you a little bit more intimately to understand how you're feeling, how you're doing, to make sure you gauge you that you're doing well, mentally doing well and everything like that.
That's okay. Fair.
Being pregnant is different from being sick or having a broken bone. All right. Being fair pregnant enough. Is vastly different. Right.
One takes a lot longer to heal from. I'm referring to the broken bone.
Okay. Right. Okay. So yeah, like that's why I'm like, I don't feel that's good. Comparison.
Okay. I mean, you got your takeaway. I got mine. So. And the best part about this show is it does allow for multiple points of view to be, I guess, pulled from it. It's not all one thing.
True. Right. There is definitely a room for interpretation and everything like that. That is 100% true. Right. Which is why everyone's like, viewpoints can be vastly different, you know, whether they view it one particular way or another. But they do also touch on a variety of other aspects of life, right? And it's not just that, like the hour and a half episode, the first hour and a half episode, it's a hefty thing. So, I mean, like, that's kind of why we're talking about it. I mean, like, you have an entire buildup, and I feel like it's like this was an entire buildup for I, and then it's like,
oh, yeah.
And it's like, by the way, deuces. What? Mm. What?
In the most heart-wrenching way possible.
Yes.
And she's got this, I'm not going to call it a saying, but it's kind of a motto she lives by. You know, sometimes lying is the most lovable, or what was it? lies or love or something like that. And
yeah. You lie. So, you love to the ones you lie to the ones you love or something like that.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Yeah. It's like you lie. What was it? The manager said to her, he's like, lie until it becomes reality. That's the great thing about this industry. And it's like, I don't know if I agree with that.
Man. Well, no, but it prevented her. So by the time she passes away, and the kids are what, 2, 3 almost?
Yes,
I'm not quite sure.
It was
with enough time that they were supposed to be able to talk without being suspicious.
Well, I mean, like they said that at 1, they were able to start talking without it being suspicious and walk around, because they were talking like as soon as they popped out, they were like, "Yo, what's up, people?" Not necessarily like that, but they popped out and they're like, "Yo, what'd it be like?" And it was like, I loved how they handled it, like with the manager, the wife. It's like, hey, I'm gonna totally just like leak this information. How they chose to handle it, I thought that was great. It was hilarious. I thought that was wonderful.
I mean, that's good. But yeah, no, it's just the thing that got me was the fact that she never told her children that she loved them because she was afraid it was going to be a lie. That killed me, emotionally speaking. And I just, when she finally was like, I love you, and then she started crying, even though she was stabbed and bleeding out, and she was like, I'm so happy it wasn't a lie. I can tell you honestly that I genuinely do. And like, that was the last bit of it. I was like, why? Why in episode 1 do you want me to cry? Why?
Why not?
Because you spent a better part of an hour making me fall in love with this character, and then just to murk her. Just straight up, done. Good call. Later. And I was thinking, that's going to kill the show. And it didn't. It really, really didn't.
No, they did a great job of laying the foundation for everything else that's going to happen. I mean, like, I loved it. I loved that they had this entire buildup, and then they're continuing on with it from that viewpoint. I'll tell you this right now. The opening was kind of...
Oh, they were awesome.
Great.
Well, I like them, I should say.
It was great. I loved it, man. I was like, damn, I actually want to sit here and listen to this.
I did. A lot of the time. I did. And not because I was waiting for the next show to start, because that didn't happen. Oh, I think I watched it on like High Dive, and it wasn't in any catalog of there was no Oshinoko, and then you click inside of it to get the episode list. I had to search them out individually. I had to look them up and search them out individually. And still worth it, in my mind at least. How did you end up finding them?
I found them, I don't know, man. I'm going to be honest.
By chance. Because they didn't offer, next episode is this. You had to like legit look for them.
Yeah.
But that was the only bad part about it in my mind. But yeah, no, it kept getting better and better, and the lies kept becoming more and more elaborate. And it truly took her motto of, you know, you lie to those you love, kind of thing.
Well, no, it's not that she lied to the ones she loved, right? She didn't have any real feelings. She didn't have any like real love for anyone. That's why. And we're talking about eyes, right? Yeah. Okay. I just want to make sure, because she's the only one that was like so focused on lying to everyone. I was like, I want to make sure. I wanted to triple check before I said anything else. All right.
Fair enough.
Everything she did, everything she said, everything was a lie. Everything lie, 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 lie. But that's why she didn't want to say things that she didn't want to be a lie. And she even said that. She's like, I didn't want to say this because I'm afraid it's going to be a lie.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, it makes sense. And yeah, she's right. But when you're that good, how can you differentiate?
Right. But what about the rest of the cast? Right. What about the rest of the show? Right. What about, you know, everyone else? What about the focal points of Aqua and Ruby? You know, what about them? Right. Like how they're going, what they're doing, the total jabs with the, and it's so like, take Aqua, for example, right? And Ruby, they met people, they interacted with people from episode one that actually continued on into the future. And you see that fruition, you see that growth right there for them. You see the continuation of that relationship. And when they did that time skip, because that's a massive time skip, it was like 10 years.
Yeah.
You knew that what was going on didn't really amount to too much. And they helped fill in the gaps as to what happened. They helped fill in, you know, everything that had happened before the 10-year skip, you know, or during that 10-year skip, I should say.
It was a great driving force in the movie or in the show. The time skip was very, very well done, I think, because it didn't leave too many questions. Nobody changed all that much, so you could still identify who was who from the earlier episodes. And their mentalities simply evolved from what they were to something more elegant. And that just goes to show the story writing was amazing on the show. On this, the thought processes behind it, just good. Just good. You can tell when somebody cares about the work they got rather than it's a paycheck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it truly felt that way.
Yeah. And they definitely like touched on it, right? So when you're watching it, they comment on how some actors are the kind of like the intricacies, I guess you would say, about the industry that they're in. And it's like, unless you really kind of, I mean, like, speaking from a layman's term, from a layman's viewpoint, from someone who is not in the entertainment industry in that respect, being, you know, with how they're acting and talking and the viewpoints of it definitely kind of gives you a different viewpoint of actors, child actors, teen actors and everything like that, where you don't really think about that kind of stuff until it's actually talked about and pointed out. And the viewpoints for it, right? And the importance of having certain connections or the importance of having an agent or someone that's going to be there to take care of you, but also at the exact same time, how easy it is for them to just drop you or not care about you and just let you fall by the wayside because you're, you know, you gained a gray hair or you did this or you, or this happened or that happened. You know, if you're not a constant cash cow and they can't continue to use you, you're basically just there and they don't care about you anymore. They're no longer vested in you. And
yeah, you're a stepping stone for somebody else.
Exactly. And showing the differences and the viewpoints and the struggles that all these other people have, it's honestly great to see. It's nice to be, to see that they don't portray it or show it in such a positive, constant, positive, wonderful light. They showed it in like the down and dirty, the gritty, the negative aspects of it. It's like, hey, guess what? You're kind of SOL on this. It's like, for take the pop, like being an idol type thing. It's like, hey, guess what? You make like next to no money while you're an idol.
Man.
Unless you make it really, really, really big. Unless you're like a top 100 Billboard 100 person, you ain't making squat.
I mean, yeah, because you need to produce, which makes very little sense to me because the company that they started in was originally, I guess a one trick pony would be it. It was that was their whole business model. And then when she passed away or when she was murdered, the director, I don't know if he went crazy or whatnot. He ran away, leaving his wife saddled with all of the bills, the building, the debt.
Oh,
and somehow, some way.
It was because, and they kind of touched on it, but he disappeared because his golden goose, so to speak, the one in a million, whatever it is, just poof. It's like literally he finally reached like the pinnacle. It's like everyone's reaching for this point and it's very few people reach this X point. And well, you know, that's why he disappeared.
Fair enough. I mean, I guess, yeah, but still slightly frustrating at times.
Right. The other thing is the eyes, right?
That was a weird one.
They've really focused on the eyes. And I'm like, I understand like the design of the eyes to kind of give a very different perspective or viewpoint or to kind of help convey the emotions going on, what's going on internally, mentally, emotionally for them.
Yeah. I was going to say they were incredibly, incredibly emotive.
Yes. But at the exact same time, it's just like take Ruby's and Aqua's, right?
Okay.
How they like each received half or one of the eyes that I had. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, does that mean like they inherited half, like a particular half of her personality traits or like, I don't know. I mean, like, you would think people would like point out the eyes like, bro, you have some weird looking eyes. Like half your eye isn't the same as the other half or whatever. Like people will point it out. So I feel like, and the reason why I say that I feel like it's not how their eyes actually were, it's more of a symbolic nature, is because of Akane.
Yeah. She all of a sudden showed up embodying eye, and she was able to get those same exact eyes.
Yes. Yes. And that's exactly why I feel like it's not a actual physical trait. It's more along the lines of a personality trait.
What do you mean by that?
Like the embodiment of how they interact and what they do and everything like that, like the whole personality behind him. It's like it's meant to embody a particular side or aspect of that personality. Whereas of you have I, who had both charisma but also that very dark side at the exact same time.
Mm-hmm.
You have Ruby, who has more charisma than anything else. And then you have Aqua, who has the more darker side of the personality. So
I guess I can see that.
So instead of them being embodied by both, it's they're embodying one particular side of the personality or aspect of said personality.
Well, what about when...
Because they only ever show one eye having that particular trait for them.
Okay. Well, which one?
What do you mean?
You said there's only one eye that is what...
They only show them with one eye with that trait.
Oh, that's what you mean. I thought you meant like one style. I'm like, but I only saw that they had one regular eye and one starred eye.
Yeah.
But... So you think that it has to do with like charisma and stuff like that?
The side of the type of personality that they inevitably inherited or took up from I. Aqua being the more dark type, who's more cynical, like everyone lies, I lie, everyone, you know, this whole thing, versus Ruby, mm-hmm. who's like the very like, hey, very charismatic, very like bubbly, like I love you all type of thing and everything like that mm-hmm. personality. Contrasting personalities versus I, who had them both, they are both each side of the extreme.
I mean, the duality between the two is off the charts.
Yeah,
it's awesome to see. And it's kind of interesting because the boy will get far more work, but he's also working his tail off to support his sister and protect.
Well, he's getting more work, not necessarily because he wants to get the work, but he's getting the work, and it's not to support his sister. It just kind of works out that way. It's because of how things kind of just land out. Like, and he keeps reiterating this. He's going into the entertainment industry to find out who his dad is. And that's why, versus Ruby, who just wants to be an idol. And he's getting the work because it's helping him kind of move along, finding that out. And he's like, oh, I'm not a great actor or whatever it is. But then when he acts, like the people that are there, it's not that he's particularly throwing his whole heart into it. It's like second nature for him. He's able to act easily mm-hmm. and do it. I mean, and they do reference that he did go through classes. He did do some training and everything like that. But Ruby does the exact same thing. I mean, like she's going through and doing all this other stuff. She has a very particular goal she's trying to reach. However, it's a different goal, right? He's not doing it to become famous. He's doing it to get revenge. She's doing it to get famous.
But does she, she's not aware of his plan for revenge, is
it? No. No, she's not. That's why when he like disappears or does all this other stuff, it's like, well, what the heck's going on?
I mean, yes, but he's always working, so he's always got an excuse.
Yeah. Yeah. Because, you know, again, he's trying to gain the skills so that way he can move into the entertainment industry to get exposed to the people to find out who his dad is. I mean, like that is the one thing he has said multiple times. Like at least once an episode. I have to work through this industry, and the easiest way for me to be able to find who our father is to be an actor or is to be in the entertainment industry and find all this stuff. I mean, like he goes through that like spiel almost every single episode. It's kind of repetitive, but he does it. And I was like, okay, we get it, bro. You want to be an actor. You want to find your daddy. You want to shank him. We get it. We got it. It's okay.
I don't know about shank so much as understand why he's not wanted. I guess would be the best way to put it.
It's not that he's not wanted. I think it's more along the lines of why you murdered my mom, why you had her murdered.
I mean, there's that too.
Right.
There's definitely that too.
So he has a very strong anger and hatred towards him. Like
I'm gonna laugh my butt off. Season two pops and they're best friends.
Right. So I don't think so, though, because...
Oh, absolutely not. But I was going to say, it'd be funny if that happened.
Yeah, it'd be weird.
I'd
be
almost appalled. It'd feel like I got gypped, for lack of a better way to put it.
Yeah.
If season two popped and they were all like hunky-dory and friends, I'm like, no, hold on. Let's bring back the energy from last season, because this is not right.
Well, he's not really hunky-dory or friends with anyone.
Nobody can fake it. He faked it so well, he made producers on a show think that he was in love with another character.
It's called acting. They do that. Mm-hmm. They talked about that being a thing on there. They're like, oh, yeah, sometimes people really do actually continue dating, and they actually do start developing feelings. Sometimes they just do it, and then they break up because of this and that. It's like, it's not that they were fooled. It's like, he's acting. He's like, that's why they said it's like, it's not that there's a script, but they can strongly suggest and help guide what's going to happen. And that's why they don't they don't allow raw footage to be released, because it helps break the illusion of whatever drama they're trying to drum up to have happen. Like they go through a whole process for it. They talk about this whole thing for it.
I don't know. It's convoluted would be a great way to say it. It was incredibly convoluted the way he was able to move through almost effortlessly through the industry. And people liked him because he was wiser than his age indicated, which meant he was easy to work with and incredibly creepy at times.
I think people just had a hard time reading him,
which got him gigs.
All right, sir. I mean, there's plenty more that I could say about it, but I feel like this is kind of like a good spot for us to leave a rating, because, we can talk about our differences for quite a while and viewpoints. Yeah. And I mean, like there's well, a lot
any further. I was going to say any further. I feel like we'd be just be spoiling the whole show, and that's not fair to anybody.
Well, I mean, like there's a lot of intricacies and everything like that. I mean, like they spell out everything that's going to happen, and you know, you don't get the resolution from any of it until like much, much later. I mean, like definitely not in season one, because there's season two obviously coming out. So,
yeah,
so it's true. I mean, but there's a lot of like pseudocide events and side stories and things that happen in there that I feel like it's better to watch.
100%. 100%.
So
like there's going to be some things we might find interesting that you'll be just like, no.
Yeah.
And some things we gloss over and you're like, that's pivotal.
Exactly. So I feel like this is a great spot for a rating, sir. So on a scale of up to 10, how would you rate this?
So on a scale of up to 10, I'm going to give this a solid 9. It blew my mind. The reason this is not a 10 is that first episode was killer. That first episode almost made me not want to watch the rest of it. Not because it wasn't good, but because it didn't feel like it was ever going to end. And then when it did end, I was like, well, I was just starting. What's good? So I was dissatisfied with how the first one went, but I was completely and utterly amazed the rest of the time.
Okay.
And you?
for me, I'm going to give it a 9 as well. I enjoyed it. I thought it was really well done. It was great. Had a lot of great story points, a lot of elements to it. The music was great in it too, especially when it needed to be there. Gave you different aspects and viewpoints for the whole acting side of life. So, I mean, the only thing that kind of like detracts it from me is one, it's so short. Two, they basically laid a lot of foundation, a lot of groundwork for a lot of different stuff, but they kind of left it open. And that's what I really kind of dislike, is that how open it was for a lot of the stuff.
Okay. I can see that.
So yeah, 9. Music, great. Artwork was great. Definitely. Oh, yeah. I mean, like, I can't complain about the artwork. That's the only thing that I have that's keeping it from a 10. So next week's choice is High Rise Invasion. It's a modern day isekai that doesn't take place in a medieval setting. It's based off of a manga from Seven Seas Publications and recommended to us by Jeb. Thanks for the recommendation, Jeb. Ooh, if you have a recommendation that you would like to give us as well, we do have a link for you. It's on our website. It's in our Discord. It's everywhere else where you can come hang out, join us and whatnot, and give us a recommendation. We would love to hear your recommendations and tell us what you feel like we should watch. It's always appreciated. I don't have too much else to say. So anything you want to throw out there, Rick, before I wrap up?
No, I was very, very, very satisfied with the show, and I hope to God season 2 comes out on time and there's no delays. Because I'm kind of hyped for it.
Yeah. The day before it comes out, it's going to pull a No Game No Life, and you're always going to be waiting for the rest of your life.
Why do you want to bring that up? I was in a good mood. No Game No Life is
No Game No Life for life.
Sad. No. If I win the lottery, the one thing I'm going to do.
What do you mean? No, I said No Game No Life for life. And you're like, no.
Yeah. Like, oh, that. Okay. I took it as it's never happening.
No.
I'm like, no.
I said for life. All right.
Sounded like a sentence to me.
while you clear the wax out of your ears, thanks for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this week's choice. If you feel like we got something right, something wrong, did it too much justice, not enough justice, or anything like that, any point in between, feel free to reach out to us and let us know. We have all that information for you in the show notes. You can also join us live on twitch.tv/featuredanimepodcast Mondays at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we will go live with the week's choice. And if you want to buy yourself some or get yourself some nice tasty treats, you can use our affiliate link in the show notes for you and use coupon code featured anime for Tokyo Treat and get yourself some nice tasty treats. Trust me, they're worth it. They're delicious and you will not be disappointed. And if you want to buy yourself some swanky swag, you can go to shop.featuredanimepodcast.com. And of course, all the links and information and everything like that's available on our website at featuredanimepodcast.com. And let's not forget about Patreon, patreon.com/featuredanimepodcast. $1 method gets you access to bonus content, help support us and help us grow. And until next time, I'm Jack.
I'm Rick, and we'll see you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.